Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be exploring a bit of the unknown. We're going to be exploring perhaps some areas that maybe you've been curious about. And when I say curiosity, you may say, what could that be? What about seven secrets for time travel? Does that intrigue you at all? What is time travel? And what are the seven secrets? We're going to be talking with Mr. Von Breschler. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you, Donna.
This was a most intriguing book, and I do have to tell you, I love the fractal patterning that is on the cover. That is just so dynamic.
Yeah, Inner Tradition did a nice job.
Yes, they did. Now, you're a former faculty member of the Omega Institute for Holistic Studies.
Yep.
You've done workshops here in the United States and the United Kingdom, and you really have a love for understanding and communicating about the powers of the individual, the powers of the mind. And I'd like to ask you, what was the trigger for you that made you realize that this is something you really wanted to explore? Obviously, it's been a passion for you for a long time.
Well, it has. I think it started when I was about 12, and everything I've written to date, whether it was about time or energy healing or chakras or even dreams, it all had to do with human consciousness and consciousness development. And I just see that, well, let me tell you the story when I was 12. Maybe it makes a little more sense. I was picking berries, I lived in North Seattle, and a bunch of us got together and said, we could ride that school bus that's all painted up for a berry farm, and we'll go out there. And we heard that there was a stream that ran behind the house, behind the berry field. And, we went out there, and, yeah, we did pick a few berries, and we ate them. And we went back there, and we started swimming. And then our plan was to emerge later in the day and catch the ride back home, you know. We were naughty little boys. But in the afternoon, I got a tremendous stomach ache. Didn't think it was the berries. It was the worst stomach ache. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you just know deep down within you something's just not right. It's more than just a stomach ache. So I pleaded with the bus driver to try to take me home early. And he said, no, you wait like everyone else. You get on the bus, you can be home in no time at all. And I just couldn't wait. I asked my friends to come with me. They wouldn't. I didn't know the way home. We were out of town several miles. But I looked, and in front of the berry field was a train track. Now, I know a lot of people think of time like linear, and it's a train track that goes off into the horizon, never ending with a start and a middle and an end. But to me, that train track was going to take me home.
Mm-hmm.
So I started walking on the train track because I knew that there was a train track that went near my house. If I'd stopped to think, I'd realize it was like a mile and a half from my house. But that's the way my mind was working. I wasn't well. I started walking, and I didn't know if the tracks were going to, you know, take me the wrong way or, you know, switch me around in a different direction or how long it would take to. But I started walking, and I hadn't gone very far, and suddenly I was standing in front of my house.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I've tried to get my friends to confirm this story and try to explain it. For a long time, I used to say angels carried me. But, you know, I think there's another explanation. I think I actually experienced a time shift. because it was later. Yeah, it was later in the day, and there I was standing in front of my house, and I got up. You know, well, my appendix were bursting. I just barely made it to the hospital.
But for heaven's sake!
You know, if I hadn't gotten home that fast, I might not be here. So when I was up and running again, I went outside and. No, there were no train tracks in front of my house. Don't know how I got there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Time travel is something that is quite interesting. And I'll share with you, before we get into your book, just a quick story about a woman, and this goes many, many years ago. And I had just started into the work of mind, and she wanted some answers. And why she asked me, I was the novice. I couldn't even imagine. But she effectively experienced time travel. She had started out, but it was in a different way. She had started out driving. She was very, very stressed, and she was in her vehicle, and she noted the time on her clock in the vehicle, and she just started driving. And she was in this unusual zone of thought, and she began to notice that it was getting darker. And she ended up spending, it was like a loop, an endless loop of just driving and driving and driving and driving and driving, and she never came to a turnoff point.
Wow.
And she went through this, and then it was like all of a sudden she waked up and she said, where am I? And she looked down at the clock, and it was like 4 or 5 hours had passed.
Hmm.
And then she saw a street leading off. She turned on that street, and it was gone. She
yeah.
was out of it.
Yeah.
So these experiences, when people have them, I don't know that we can explain them 100%, because it is something that is not understandable by the experience of time as we know it.
Right.
And it is something that's happened to people. I mean, we can go into those altered states when we're driving on a freeway, or mm-hmm. there is that sense of timelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your book is titled The Seven Secrets of Time Travel,
mm-hmm.
Mystic Voyages of the Energy Body. And you cover quite a bit in this book. Part of what you go into is meditation.
Yeah.
You, right at the very beginning of your book, talk about how the human body can self-rejuvenate, which is true, and science is finally beginning to acknowledge this. There is something that occurs on a cellular level
yep.
that is absolutely incredible. And I agree with you that the body is just a miracle. I mean, it's phenomenal, as the complexity of the human body and how it works. But you talk about creating real change by
yep.
using meditation as
yep.
the doorway. And you say there's timelessness outside the physical space and time as we are aware of it.
Yep.
But that energy can be moved by spirit. Would you explain that for my audience, please?
I'll try. what I see is that there are two levels of creation. And we thought this way for many, many years. Everywhere back to the 17th century German mathematician Leibniz all the way through to today. And we see many, many, in many traditions, they talk about the two levels of creation. There's heaven above, and there's earth below. Now
mm-hmm.
look at that differently. There's the level of unmanifest unmanifest energy above in the spirit world above us, and there's manifest energy in the material world below us. In this world that we live in, everything is pretty much frozen. It is a dense, solid, somewhat inflexible level of being. Now, anyone who studied chemistry, I'm not a scientist, but going back to the father of chemistry, Lavoisier, the old French tax collector, came up with the law of conservation of mass, that matter could not be destroyed. It was inflexible, you know, and that's pretty much held up through time. And so it is very, I mean, bones will heal, mm-hmm. and there will be some change, but there is very little healing, and there's very little change. In reality, it takes more than a few clicks off the clock. It takes duration. Change equals duration. Duration equals change. How long ice takes to melt. How long mountains take to form. How long energy takes to turn into matter. Now, in our world, it is very hard to change. It is very hard to see change. Julian Barber, the young cutting-edge physicist who wrote The End of Time, he talks about how there's very little change in our world. Leibniz says the same thing in the 17th century. Very little change. That we think we see progress. We like to think of time moving forward progressively like a movie. It has an opening, it has a middle, you know, it has the arc where the hero, you know, confronts the situation and resolves the situation. We like this. This is the hero's story. And then there's the end, you know. But in fact, there's no beginning. There's no end. In our world, there is just the now. And I know people are probably almost tired of hearing this, you know, the power of the present moment, the now, the eternal now. But really, electromagnetic radiation of a dynamic nature comes down to the earth, strikes all living objects, and energizes them, initializes them in a dynamic way, including us, you know. And in that moment, when light, radiant energy, in the form of sun rays, strikes us, we experience the now. It crosses the now plane, depending on your frame of reference, and you know. So that is what we have to work with. We work with the instants, the moments, the seconds that are at our disposal, minute to minute, second by second. This is now. You know, and it's very critical to understand that. But outside of that, outside of this physical, frozen, manifest world, there is limitless potential in the world of energy, in the world above, the unmanifest world of limitless possibilities of energy. Energy is limitless in scope.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get there? How do you get there? You know, P.D. Uspensky, he was the biographer of Gurdjieff, you know, helped write The Fourth Way, you know, Meetings with Remarkable Men. A remarkable man himself, he wrote Tertium Organum, and he said, we are living in a box, we're living in a level where we cannot comprehend what lives above us. We are two-dimensional, three-dimensional, let's be generous, we're three-dimensional thinkers, and we look above, and we cannot see what's up there, where there are people living fourth-dimensional lives, you know. They live in a world where time is the fourth dimension. In our fixed location, where we are, we cannot, you know, it is beyond our ability. Well, so how do you get outside the box? Uspensky said, through higher consciousness, through mm-hmm. deep meditation, you go outside the body. The consciousness leaves the body. The consciousness is not tied to your brain, not tied to your physical body. We know even in our dreams that our consciousness can leave the body, can exist outside the body. It can hover above you, and it can go great distances in a flash at the speed of light, and that's mm-hmm. important to remember, at the speed of light. So we have something that actually can go at the speed of light, and therefore experience time shifts and travel forward, backward in time. We have our human consciousness. Look at all the people who have had dreams of prophecy, and many of them come true.
Mm-hmm.
And are they just lucky, or have they gone forward in time? Look at all the people who have gone backward in time, looked at the past lives, and been able, and some of it is very well documented now, studies of reincarnation, past lives, that they have accurately seen into their past lives. They've done this just traveling in their minds, let's say outside their minds, in a state of higher consciousness.
You know, when you're mentioning this, and there is a phenomena relative to research, and a lot of it is classified, but there have been many individuals that have been associated with various research that has not been made available to the public, as I said, that has helped them, if you will, sometimes in covert operations, to be able to move in that frame of being able, let's say, to leave the body, astral project, and to be in other locales. Now, this is something that was known in many, many ancient cultures. It was never taken lightly, whether it was the kahunas, whether it was the Tibetan lamas, whether it was in other people. Usually it took a lot of training and a lot of discipline because, and sometimes they would use psychedelic drugs of some kind, whatever it might be in their environment. But it was done very cautiously because they said this is something that can cause trauma if you are not prepared with it. Now, in your book, relative to time travel, you have a number of exercises that you encourage people to consider, and none of these would be what I'd call really something that you'd have to be concerned about, but it is in the aspect of meditation, and you encourage people to make their own tapes, and you've got scripts in here. It's really quite interesting, the various exercises you've got, but one thing I want you to share is the story about your son. When you were on a bicycle trip across Vancouver Island in British Columbia, I mean, this is something that I can relate to because of some things that I know that happened to me when I was younger. But this is incredible because of what he did. So tell about your son's accident.
I think I embarrass him every time I tell this story because he just...
Oh, good. That's always good.
He just shuffles it off. He's now a lawyer and he's very, into the Socratic method.
Oh, good. We could embarrass him. That's fine.
We could embarrass him a lot. Well, I think a lot of people, when they have an accident, they just get outside themselves and pull themselves. And, I think that's what happened. We were on Vancouver Island. We were traveling the Highway 1, I think it is, from Sydney to Victoria, a very beautiful stretch of road. And we had two bikes. One was an old coast-to-coast bike, and one was a speedster. It was a Peugeot racing bike that we put together. And we traded off and off because the Peugeot was much better. Well, my son had the Peugeot, and we started off and that day, and we were in a cabin, and we shoved off, and we got on the road, and we were very cautious. This is a while back, like a lot of people, we didn't wear helmets, we didn't wear padding, and I sure wish we had, but we did ride our bikes off to the side of the road. We did, look for cars, and we did signal. We were very cautious, We traveled all through the San Juan Islands and the Gulf Islands on these bicycles every summer. And this was the only bad experience we had, and it was a doozy. My son, on the faster bicycle, he got onto the highway from our side road first. And he's off to the side of the road pedaling away, and I'm just about to get on the road behind him. And a car comes out of nowhere, swerving all over the road, and it's about to hit my son. It's like the driver is drunk or something. He's driving very recklessly. And he swerves over, and just as he's about to hit him from behind, my son, who did not have a rearview mirror, and who did not look backward to see what was coming, appeared to me to leapfrog over the handlebars, just as though he were a frog. He just hopped out of his seat, did a somersault in front of the bike, laid flat on his stomach, and the car proceeded to go over him. And I screamed. And I thought, that is the end. What will I tell his mother? And the bike was just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
My son, after the car passed, stood up, dusted himself off, and walked to pick up the crumpled bike.
Mm-hmm.
He absolutely, and he said he didn't think about it. He said he felt something just leaving his body, that it was very dangerous to be there, and he had to go. Now, who in their right mind on a bicycle with the sound behind him would jump off of the bicycle and then do a somersault like he did? I mean, it's just like, but it was the right thing to do.
He should join the Cirque du Soleil. I mean, that really is the kind of stuff that they do, yes.
Yeah, I know. And after he did the somersault, he lay flat, and the car went right over him.
Mm-hmm.
He just felt something inside him saying, got to get off, not safe on this bike.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped off, and he said it was just instinct is what he put it. And, you know, I think this is what happens to a lot of us when we have moments of crisis like that, in a sense of an emergency or a car accident or calamity about to befall us. The spirit, the energy part inside, whatever you want to call it, our inner life essence, evacuates the body out of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it drags you with it. Now, that is the best I can do to explain how to physically move the body through time. I can't do exercise. I can't write down exercises to explain that. I think I got it in my head how it works, how you pull the subtle bodies with you. And I think that people have done it, and other people have done it, like my son, almost as a reflex.
Mm-hmm.
But in its place, I've put what I thought were reliable, safe, tried and true meditation exercises to go into the highest level of deep meditation, an active out-of-body meditation, as practiced by North America, the dreamwalkers of the shamanic tradition.
Yes.
Practiced by the Sumadis and the Hindu mystics, who initially teach their people how to control their dreams, and then eventually how to move through space and time in very deep, deep meditations.
Well, I think that this is something that, again, has been around for centuries, but we go through cycles where it's disavowed, or those who are the teachers, they find that their environments are just not going to be supportive of what they do, so they go into a different direction. And I was reviewing some material earlier today regarding meditation and how vital it is, and how in the Western world, where 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you would have just been put in the mental slammer as far as most people were concerned, by even talking about using meditation for anything. And you just had to be kooky. And of course, if you go back to the 60s, you were really nuts. So here we are today, where mainstream science in a number of medical facilities in the United States and in different parts of the world that are of the Western medicine mentality, saying, no, there is something here. Our technology, our science has started enabling them to understand how important this is. They are now starting to teach physicians and health practitioners to utilize it, because they're saying if a doctor is stressed out, he's not going to be able to do very much good for a stressed out patient.
Yeah.
He's not going to operate efficiently and effectively in emergency situations. So all of this is exceedingly important in today's world. And because the average individual is interested today in wanting to explore, it really is something that the tool of meditation, if it's used well, is not an escape route. It is actually being mindfully present of where you are, so that you can be more effective in life. And you have a segment in your book, Seven Secrets of Time Travel, which really intrigued me, because I think of so many of our young men and women who have served military duty have suffered post-traumatic stress syndrome because of the various things that they've seen, they've experienced, maybe they've come back disabled. You have a section in your book entitled The Shamanic Soul Retrieval.
Yeah.
And in this section, you talk about how healing has been done by those who are in the shamanic tradition. They talk about spirit walking, and that a spirit walker will seek healing for a person by retrieving things that have been lost in his or her past. And this is bits of the self.
Yeah.
And if you've been injured on a battlefield, if you've been in any kind of a trauma, they call it the shamanic soul retrieval, and they will go back into those moments and quite literally retrieve parts of that person's self.
Yeah.
And I think how intriguing that is, and how very soothing and healing it could be for anyone who had gone through some very, very difficult times.
Yeah. It's not that difficult in a sense. I mean, to tell people you can be your own shaman, I mean, I suppose a lot of people wouldn't like me to say that. But
mm-hmm.
You can. And ultimately, we should become our own shaman. We should take at least control of our own lives, at least a responsibility for our own self. You know, I mean, isn't that what Job figured out? You
mm-hmm.
know? So, it's easy in that to go where you need to go, you need to visualize what you're looking for. And what you're looking for is the lost part of you. Now, that should be the easiest thing to look for if you remember how visualization works, how thought form travel works. It is simply a karmic attraction of you to you. It's like a magnet. We
mm-hmm.
are basically electromagnetic energy. Everything is, you know, and there's just one unifying thing that brings us all together as far as the energy that drives us, and that is this electromagnetic energy. And like the ends of a compass, you will be drawn magnetically to the parts of you who are missing. But you could also find lost keys, I suppose. But I've done that exercise, too.
Well, Vaughn, I really think your book has so many intriguing perspectives in it that anyone that wanted to become more aware of themselves and wanted to understand the factor that meditation can be demonstrated in many different ways. And you have some fascinating stories in here. Your seven secrets, well, I won't give out any more of them. We've talked about a few. You mentioned the magical tatwas, which are special cards. I've never heard of that term. And there's so much more that you mention in your book. What is your website where people can explore more
about what you've
written and this material?
Inner Traditions has set up a Facebook for me that has some information. You can go to Inner Traditions and look me up and by my name, and it'll have activities that are coming up. I'll be traveling a little bit. That's about it. I'm not quite webbed out yet.
Okay. Well, you've written more than one book. What we have been discussing are the seven secrets of time travel. We haven't given you them all because you need to read the book. Mystic Voyages of the Energy Body, Vaughn Brashler is my guest. His last name is spelled B like boy, R-A-S-C-H-L-E-R, Vaughn Brashler. And again, his stories that he's got in here, not just about his son, which we discussed, but also things that he's gone through, and even his mother. And all of these stories are sprinkled throughout the book, and I know you'd find it an interesting read. Von Brashler, thank you so very much for being with me today. It's been a delight having you as a guest. Check out innertraditions.com, then go to his name, and they will have a Facebook link, Seven Secrets of Time Travel. I think you'll find it a good read. This is Donna Siebel. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Siebel to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then I'll give you my mental impressions. And, of course, you're then welcome to ask me anything that you like. I have a comment here about the worst advice in history. And this is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but we have to remember that in the days gone by, well, advice was a little bit different than what we have today. You know, Marie Antoinette's mother offered her advice that says, don't think for yourself, obey commands, and always ask for more advice. Also, and this is documented, this is what she told Marie Antoinette. Have no curiosity. This is a fault which I fear greatly for you. Avoid familiarity with your inferiors. Ask Monsignor and Madame De Noel, the First Lady of Honor, and even exact of them advice as to what you should do. Do not be ashamed of asking advice of anyone, and do nothing on your own responsibility. Boy, am I glad I live in today's world. Women were actually told to do that stupidity. And if they thought for themselves, if they were independent, oh, they were ostracized. And this is even going on in cultures around the world today. And I have to think to our own American history. It wasn't all that long ago when women got the vote in this country. And it took a lot of women that said, I'm not going to play dumb. I am not going to ignore the inferiors, however you want to classify that. And, of course, Empress Maria Theresa, who was Marie Antoinette's mother, she met anybody that wasn't of royalty. They're all inferiors. What an attitude. Well, that is something that a lot of people came to this country to get away from, because they wanted the right and privilege to be able to succeed, to be able to choose. I can recall talking with a young woman from England. This is a few years back, and she was driving me. I'd been asked to be a speaker, and she was driving me to the hotel where I was doing the speaking appearance. And we had this wonderful conversation, and she was from England. And I said, oh, my goodness, well, what in the world are you doing here? You're so independent. I found out she had a massage business. She was doing very well. She had a number of clients. And she said, I came to this country because I could not open up a business of my own. And I can remember just absolutely being stunned because in my mind, England was a lot like the United States. People had the opportunity to do things. And she said, oh, no, not really. She said, if you are born into a family where your mother was a maid, then that's what you're going to have to do. And I said, well, I thought all of that was gone. She said, no, not really. There is a caste system in England in positioning that you really, as a woman, don't have a chance of getting past. Now, I like to think that maybe that's changed. But she came to the United States because she didn't have that opportunity in England. And she said, here in the United States, I can have as big a business as I want or as small a business as I want. It's all up to me. And she said, I'm here because of the freedoms that I can exercise. And I thought, we must remember this to myself when I was experiencing this conversation. And she said, it is so important for people to realize this, that this is one of the few places in the world where you actually can have a choice. And isn't that wonderful? Because there was a time in this country where you didn't have that choice. For women to go to medical school, impossible. They didn't allow you to do it. And you really, really, if you wanted to fly a plane, oh, forget it. That just wasn't going to happen. Not unless you had some man in your life that said, yeah, come along, I'll teach you. Amelia Earhart broke through a lot of glass ceilings, if you will, by being who she was. But even after she made the breakthroughs, it still was pretty tough for women in aviation. So we have all of these challenges. Fortunately now, we've got more women in college than there are men. We have more women that are starting businesses than men. And it doesn't mean superiority here. It means opportunity. And women are finally beginning to realize that they can take the initiative and they can do whatever they want to do, whether it's being a mechanic and running a shop where you have 5 employees, 500, or if you want to be a teacher and anything and everything in between, you can even run for political positioning of any level you want. It's an amazing thing to see, but we must remember the primary reason that this is happening today is because there were those in the past that stood firm, stood strong, and knew that it was something that had to be done. Donna Sebo here. Telephone number to call into is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to have a couple of guests. I know we've got a caller, but let me just tell this to you before I go to our first caller. We're going to be talking about two very different subjects. First one's going to be What Animals Taught Me by Stephanie Marone. And then we're going to be talking with Dr. Horton, how you can know what to say when you're called upon to speak. Fascinating topics, both of them, so I hope you'll join us tomorrow. Dr. Horton was to be with me yesterday. That did not work out, so he's going to be with me tomorrow. Let's go to our first caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi there, Lisa, and I'm calling from California.
Where in California, Lisa?
Oh, in Los Angeles.
L.A., well, I hope the sun is shining. And if you would, just cut this up a little bit and send it up here.
Okay.
We need some of that golden glow up here. It's raining, it's windy, and it feels like spring, for heaven's sakes, in the Pacific Northwest. This is the way it's supposed to be. Anyway, let's get down to business with you. First thing, Lisa, that I am aware of is the term a setback. But it's interesting when I'm getting that word, because the image that I'm getting is like a small post that has, maybe it's about 5 or 6 inches in diameter, and poof, it's come up out of the ground right in front of you. But it's not very high. And I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, well, that's interesting. All you have to do is walk around it. You don't have to be stuck right there. And I think what is occurring with you is that with setbacks, when they're happening, instead of becoming so preoccupied with the setback, going, oh, woe is me, this isn't good, you're looking at it, just as I'm seeing this image of this short pole popping up as the obstacle, you're going to say, wait a minute, I can get around this. And that's what you're doing. You're learning how to move differently. You're learning how to, if you will, think outside of the proverbial box. So this obstacle that I'm looking at that could cause a setback really is nothing. And you're going to realize that. And you're going to go around it, and you're going to do something else. And I think that this is extremely important because it means a big step forward for you. So even though there is that setback, it is truly insignificant. And it's not something that is going to impede you, because you're going to figure out a way of how to get around it. Now, something that I'm looking at, I don't know if you're spending a lot of time on the computer. I feel as if I've got an ache in my hand going all the way up to my elbow. And as I'm watching this, I feel like there's something with a nerve on the outside of my elbow. In fact, I've got my arm raised up, my hand is in a fist, and I feel this discomfort running all the way down my arm. Not quite into the armpit, but actually going around the backside of the elbow up into the shoulder. And my arm is up, and it's like, oh, that feels so much better. But as I open and I close my hand, I'm getting this sensation of discomfort. And I think you may need to take something like a small vibrator unit and just sort of use it up the arm and get the circulation going better. You need to get up from the computer more frequently, because what's happening is that you're causing an interference in some nerve endings. I don't know about you, but sometimes my arm is resting on the side of a desk, and I've got the mouse, and I'm moving it, and I'm not realizing how I'm putting a pressure point on that bone in the elbow. And I would just say you need to pay attention to what your body's telling you, but make sure you get up and move and stretch. And if necessary, maybe put a little bit of a cushion underneath where your elbow would rest if you're going to be using a hard surface along, you know, at the same time you're using the mouse and you're resting your arm on it. There's something there that could create quite an irritation. And the best way to to get rid of it is to relax it and rest it. But I don't think you're going to need to have any medical treatment for this at all. I just think it's being consciously aware. Excuse me?
I said I don't have any problems with that area of my body, like that. What you're talking about, I'm sitting here touching it now, and I don't feel like there's no pain there or nothing that I'm aware of.
All right. Well, then just be alert. Just be alert.
Okay.
And it's not something that has to be debilitating. It's just something that I'm very consciously aware of. So just be alert and take a positioning of prevention. What's your question for me today?
I did have some setbacks, but I do seem to be able to able to pull some of them off, some things off that I didn't think I was going to be able to. But it's nice and reassuring to hear that they're not as big a problem as I think they are.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, I need to take a break. Would you stay on the line, and then we'll come back and get your question? Okay, this is Donna Siebel. We're on the phone with Lisa in Los Angeles. You can give me a call if you like at 888-627-6008. We're taking a break, and we're going to come back and get her question. We'll be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Siebel. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it, and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic. Safe for children, too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Quick like a bunny before I go back to Lisa. Remember, my new time for the show starting May the 1st is going to be 9 in the morning Pacific time. Also, I'm going to be in New York the 27th and the 28th of this month, and then I'm going to be on my way to Alaska starting on the 2nd of May. So I'm going to be in a couple of places, and if you should be located there and you want to meet with me in Fairbanks or Anchorage, Alaska, just give me a call, or in New York at 253-582-5604. Lisa, what's your question for me, and thank you for waiting.
Yeah, no problem. My question is work. I am looking for work. I am open to magical work just showing up out of nowhere. I don't know if you can see if that's going to happen, but that's all that's on my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think you need to lighten up a little bit with that just being totally on your mind. You need to shift every once in a while and sort of let your brain go into another gear. It is not going to happen magically out of nowhere. It is going to come about because you have earnestly been pursuing the avenues that you need to pursue. Now, it will seem phenomenally synchronistic when everything starts coming together. And I am, I am looking at something that was put into place, into positioning, in February, around the 19th to the 23rd. It's going to take about 3 to 6 months before what was put into positioning at that time is going to start showing results. And you have continued to plant seeds, and not unlike a garden, when you plant seeds, you have to allow certain things to grow. And also, you have to allow for the fact that certain environments may not be actually in positioning yet. They may not be ready for you. So it's being in that state of preparation. Expectation can be there, but again, it's what else do I need to do? What venues can I explore? Yeah. What can I be in? So it's the knowingness that you're going to be in your right place. But whatever is in the interim that you find yourself having the opportunity to experience, you keep putting your word out there. You keep doing it. And that is what's going to bring the results. And there is something that I'm seeing happening with you about a teaching position, which I find intriguing, because I don't know that that's what you would be really excited about. Yet it seems as if there are, it's as if I'm watching someone crocheting a pattern. And it's not a real tight crochet stitch. It's sort of loose. It's like it's being done with big crochet needles. And I'm just watching this patterning come together. And I think it's going to take some more time before the whole piece is finished. So don't give up the aspiration or the dream, but recognize, too, it may follow a different path than what you would have experienced. And you may find yourself in an environment that you would consider a small environment, but that small environment may be exactly what you want.
You get a sense of when that's going to happen?
I'm getting early fall. Early fall. But I am seeing other things that you're going to be able to be involved with between now and then. So that's where the crocheting of the pattern is coming together. I'm out of time, dear. I've got to go.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Well, you're more than welcome, and don't give up. You just have to be consistent, and just know that you're going to have what you want, but maybe not exactly as you would have expected.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Well,
all right, my dear. You have a wonderful, wonderful day and evening. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This life is a wonderful adventure, and there are so many things that we go through. And I know, I'm like you, sometimes I think that the customer service department has just put me on hold permanently when it comes to certain experiences. But often there are things going on that we can't see. And I think sometimes it's that not being able to see that's the most frustrating. So that's when you have to say, okay, I keep on putting the work out there. I keep on doing what I need to do. And let's see what happens. Your recipe of life is keep trying different ingredients until you get the seasoning just right. This is Donna Siebel. We'll be back here with you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thank you so very much for being with us today. It's been a delight having you. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.